On KUOW's The Record, we were just talking a few minutes ago about our new distracted driving law. Now we're going to talk about one of the things you might be distracted by and driving around for. A new study says Seattle drivers spend 58 hours a year cruising around in our cars, circling city blocks, looking for parking. 58 hours looking for parking. That's the equivalent of a week and a half of work days. Or vacation days. My next guest says, you know, it wouldn't be so hard to find parking if Seattle got serious about making everyone pay for their parking spots. Free parking doesn't help. UCLA professor and urban planner Donald Shoup points to ground zero for Seattle's parking problem, Pike Place Market.
It's the only street in that part of Seattle where there are no parking meters. It's only two or three blocks long, and it really doesn't go anywhere. But there are a lot of cars driving along, and I wondered why were they driving along Pike Place? And then I realized, well, it's probably because they're hunting for parking. And I tested this by pulling the keys out of my pocket and going to the door of a parked car. And every time I did that, the traffic stopped. The car was waiting to take the space. So I had to use sort of body language to disappoint the people and suggest I wasn't leaving.
Wow. Did you get your life threatened by some angry tourists?
Well, no, they probably thought I forgot something and went back to buy a piece of salmon or something like that. But I think that if you want to know what it's like when the parking is free, just go down to Pike Place and try this yourself. See whether you can stop all the traffic just by pretending to unpark a car.
Do you want there to be zero free parking on the street in Seattle?
Not at all. No, I think that you only need parking meters where you need it. I think that the right price for curb parking in Seattle and elsewhere is the lowest price the city can charge and still have at least one or two open spaces. So there are many parts of town where the blocks are never full and the price would always be zero. But if all the spaces are full, like on Pike Place, and people are looking for parking, then I think the price is too low.
So, Professor, describe the ideal city parking system for us. How do you think it ought to work in Seattle?
What's best for drivers and for everybody else is to have at least one or two open spaces on every block. So everybody has great parking karma, that there's always a space waiting for you when you get to your destination. And now, how do you get that right result? This is the outcome you would like, and that is to set the prices that would achieve this result. If there are no open spaces, you nudge up the price by maybe 25 cents an hour. And if there are plenty of open spaces, you nudge the price down. And when San Francisco and L.A. started this, more prices actually went down than up. In San Francisco, a lot of the prices went down from a minimum of previously of $2 to 25 cents an hour.
How expensive could the most expensive in-demand parking spot in Seattle get?
Well, I think that's the wrong question. I think that the only way you could tell what the right price is to look at the results. And if the results are the spaces are all full, the price is too low. If the results are a lot of empty spaces, the price is too high. And you'll never be able to find that until you try it.
But who knows? It's like Monopoly, you know, Broadway, Park Place and Broadway. You're going to have to pay for that if you want the coveted spot.
I think so. In San Francisco, there was a great fear that the price would skyrocket, but they had a maximum of $6. That's one thing they did to make it politically possible. But in the first 3 years, I think 17% of all the meters went down to the minimum price of 25 cents an hour, and only six blocks ever hit the maximum of $6 an hour. So I think this fear that the price will skyrocket is just misplaced.
Okay. You say that Seattle has tried to get parking right already.
Seattle is a leader in this enterprise that the city council established this goal of one or two open spaces on every block. It's right there in the city code. But they haven't embraced all the technology to do this now. They use hand counts. They send people out looking at the spaces just once a year. I don't think that's frequent enough. I think that you should have more high-tech ways of looking at this. Seattle is the center of high technology, and to think you have people standing on streets counting cars seems a little bit outmoded.
Do you want Seattle street parking to just be for rich people?
Well, I think that's another great mistake. That say in San Francisco, this complaint was put forward. I think, you know, many people try to push poor people in front of them like a human shield, saying don't charge for parking because it'll hurt poor people. When really, they don't want to pay for parking themselves. But in San Francisco, 30% of the households do not own a car, many of them too poor to own a car, and all of the parking revenue goes to subsidized public transit. So if I were an advocate for poor people, I would say I like this policy. I think we ought to charge for curb parking and spend the money to subsidize public transit. And also, if the price is too low, like on Pike Place, the traffic cruising for parking slows down public transit. The buses have to fight their way through traffic, most of them, the drivers being solo drivers, drivers who are hunting for a free parking space. So I think if you're advocating for the poor, I think the idea of charging market prices for curb parking and subsidizing public services is better for poor people, especially people who are too poor to own a car.
Getting back to Pike Place Market, which you called ground zero for Seattle's parking problems, why shouldn't a confused tourist in a rental car expect they can at least park for free to come here and visit our top tourist destination?
Well, there may be probably 100 pedestrians on Pike Place for every car. There are people wandering around in traffic and people like me, and these people are driving through and they don't stop because there are no open spaces. But I think that politically, the sensible thing to do, and some cities do it now, is that they charge a higher price for tourists than for residents of the city. Say in Miami Beach, at parking meters, the residents see the price of $4 an hour. But when a resident goes up, it's $1 an hour for the residents of the city. So this policy sort of makes sense to people, the voters in Miami Beach. It's like a hotel tax, for example. I mean, do you worry that the hotel taxes in Seattle are hurting poor people? Probably not. But I think that if you had a discount for residents of Seattle at meters, they'd see that maybe it is a good idea that tourists who are here and driving on our roads and polluting our air should pay something for parking on some of the most valuable land on Earth. Now, you could do a lot of things to avoid paying for parking. If you're willing to walk a few blocks, I think it's better if people would park a few blocks away and walk to their destination rather than insist on driving right to the destination and parking free. I mean, the pedestrians, there are more feet on the sidewalks than people walking past stores and restaurants and things like that. I think it will encourage active transportation, getting out on your own 2 feet.
That's UCLA professor Donald Shoup, who wrote a book called The High Cost of Free Parking. We were talking about a new nationwide study that finds Seattleites spend an average 58 hours a year trying to find a parking space. Now, some of you find that number hard to believe. Eric writes on KUOW's Facebook page, "There is no way that is statistically valid. I call BS. There is no way people are spending anywhere near 27 minutes every day looking for parking. That's just a crazy amount of time." TJ thinks we doth circle too much. He writes, "These are the people who simply refuse to pull into one of the many public parking garages." Eye roll emoji. If the garage is full, it says full. If the full sign isn't on, you pull in and park. And Justin won't even get in his car sometimes. He writes, "Nope, we just take the bus. We're going to be in an area with limited parking. We have the freedom to head home from any location we end up at, not forced to walk back to the car." Well, you can read about that parking study right now because we're tweeting out a link to the Seattle Times write-up. We are at KUOW.